a discussion of sin now. You know, some view the concept of sin as a guide to achieving righteousness, living a life of morality, an example for others to follow. Sin, the do not do list in life. And then there are others who think of sin more as a guidebook on the roadmap of life, with each deadly sin an attraction not to be missed. Sin, the ultimate bucket list of a life well lived. Which are you? And try not to give us too much information, but you can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE and tell us your story. But the seven deadlies, wrath, greed, sloth, pride, lust, envy, and gluttony, are the subject of a new book of essays about categories of misbehavior set down in the 7th century by that original fun-loving chucklehead himself, Pope Gregory I. Alex Clark is the co-editor of The Seven Deadly Sins, a celebration of virtue and vice. And with celebration in mind, Clark says that while we're not exactly Sodom and Gomorrah these days, you could plausibly open a hotspot in London dedicated to the seven deadlies.
That's a very good idea. Do you think we should launch a nightclub to go with this book? Not a bad idea.
Yeah, a whole different marketing approach.
Well, it is the time of year to be celebrating both virtue and vice, because it, I suppose, is the time of the year that we bring both of them together. So this was our idea in this anthology.
And celebrating virtue and vice as opposed to observing and commenting, what's the difference there?
Well, I think we are, I suppose, acknowledging that this is an app, you can't have one without the other, and that they're a kind of central part of everybody's life. But I think also the book in its various ways, you know, we've got seven different writers, each of them tackling one of the deadly sins. I suppose what we're also saying is that our attitude towards sin has changed. I mean, we don't really think of sins as deadly any longer, I don't think.
No, but writers absolutely need them to drive their plots. I mean, it would be hard to find a writer who didn't want to write about wrath or greed or sloth or pride or lust or envy or gluttony or all of the above in
exactly.
any given book.
Exactly. It's true that if when we canvassed opinion and thought that we might have a kind of celebration of only the virtues, that didn't get very many takers. I mean, writers are driven to examine our sort of darker parts, the things that make us human and make us frail. For example, envy or jealousy also, the things that we bring to our kind of personal lives and the things that, of course, spill over into our public lives.
And what about greed? I gather that's the one that people want the least, because gluttony is the really fun one. Greed is kind of like gluttony, but it's a little more, you know, it's a little more churchy.
Yes, that's right. Well, gluttony is a kind of excessive interest in food. It doesn't necessarily just mean, for example, overeating. But of course, greed can be for anything. And in this essay we have, which is by Dylan Evans, what he talks about is our bankers and the financial crisis and the financial world. And he really asks us to examine what we mean by greed, why we think it's such a bad thing, whether one person's greed isn't just another person's way of wealth creation, for example.
It sure makes me want to go back in time and hang out with Pope Gregory to try to figure out what it was that was on his mind when he decided to codify these, because it doesn't feel like it's science. And really, as I think about this, I want to ask you, are these sins the story, or do they tell the story of humans romping about having adventures on the extremes of life and sensuality, or are they the story of us trying to restrain ourselves and keeping ourselves from going off the cliff?
Well, I think I would say more the kind of latter. I mean, you're right to home in on Pope Gregory, because looking back on him now, we think, why did he, for example, when he was making the number of sins, when he was actually settling on seven, what made him merge sorrow with sloth? What made him merge boasting with vanity?
Wouldn't you have loved to have been, though, at the meeting when Pope Gregory figured these things out? I mean, can you imagine? I can hear you saying, what about sorrow? And he would go, no, that's just sloth.
Yeah, exactly. No, all these things. I mean, isn't it interesting? The minute we try to, exactly the word you use, the minute we try to codify human behavior, it becomes very slippery, doesn't it? It becomes very imprecise. And the idea of just putting it down, I mean, limiting it to seven, deciding what they are, you know, why envy rather than jealousy, for example.
Right, exactly. I mean, that could have gone on for days, that discussion. But it seems to me that lust was probably a short discussion.
Yes, that's right. Last, well, desire, I suppose it could have been called, but of course that's a slightly different thing. But, you know, I think as many of us would kind of concede, you're very unlikely to get the world to go on for a long time without lust. So, you know, a lot of these things, I think we've redefined our own position towards a lot of these sins. I'm not sure we any longer really think lust is such a very bad thing.
Really?
Well, it's the excess that we need to guard against, isn't it? But I think
so. We've advanced to excessive lust. Lust is okay, but excessive lust.
Well, I think there's, shall we say, a kind of certain degree of sort of permissiveness. I mean, we just don't have that idea to the same extent that we did, or it is not so universally accepted, of a judging God. I mean, in a way, what we do is judge one another a lot more harshly. If you take something like Twitter, for example, then those kind of sudden uprisings of people who are furious with somebody else, something happens, you know, a whole lot of people call out someone else, then, you know, that is a sort of judgmentalism. Judgmentalism, in a way, is kind of rife, isn't it? But we no longer sort of differ. We don't say God must judge and here are these codified sins or these Ten Commandments that are going to tell us exactly how we must judge each other. We've sort of rather supplanted a kind of deity, I think, in that idea.
I'm amazed, though, that even though the smallest thing that my, you know, I don't know, maybe 10-year-old in, you know, maybe playing a hip-hop song could do to cause Pope Gregory to blush if he were around today. I mean, the things that we do that would just completely freak them out,
yes,
although it depends on what history of the Vatican you read, right? That's all changed. I mean, the practices, what qualifies as lust, but the same sins are recognized. The seven deadly sins are still recognized. That hasn't been tossed out, even though, and this book talks about it, we've gone through an extraordinary period of change.
Yes, we recognize these, don't we? We still believe that there is a line beyond which you must not step. I don't know if we quite imagine that hellfire will be waiting for us, or at least that, again, is not such a widely accepted view. But I think we absolutely believe that something somewhere will tell us when we've done wrong, and that we will in some way, even if just karmically, I suppose, be judged for it. So I think we still do look to people, to each other, to the world, to governments, to literature, to tell us what is right and wrong. And I have to say, I think we don't come up with an answer in this book. We didn't really set out to do that.
Well, I'm glad you didn't. I'm very glad you didn't.
I mean, what we more have, I suppose, are kind of meditations on what these things can possibly mean, because, of course, they are just words in the end.
So should I wish you great wrath, greed, sloth, pride, lust, envy, and gluttony for the holidays, or do you just choose one in particular for the Christmas time?
I suppose you have to try and choose the one that will please you most. I have to say, at Christmas time, it's quite hard to get past gluttony, isn't it?
Mm.
I'm afraid, or it certainly is in England, where, you know, we really go big on food at Christmas time. So I guess I'd probably want gluttony for the holidays, and then a bit of vanity as I undertake my kind of New Year regime.
Well, I've been to Harrods. You can do that completely on one floor there at Harrods.
Yes, you can. That's absolutely right.
Alex Clark, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.